You have your Bibles, turn with me to Matthew's Gospel, the 16th chapter. I told you the title of the message earlier. I'm going to give you that question again. I want you to just think about it. I don't want you to come up with an answer right away. Is it always God's will when we help others? Heavenly Father, hide me behind the cross today. Let me share this, Father, as you would have me to share it. That would be clear and simple and precise. That will touch each and every one of us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can't take no credit for this message. I've borrowed this from Brother Charles Stanley. How many of you know Charles Stanley? This is a newsletter. And after reading it, the Lord really purposed in my heart that I needed to share this. And I hope it speaks to your heart like it did mine. It's advice that we can all use. Very helpful. As a pastor, it's my desire to help people. If I see someone heading in the wrong direction, I want to stop them so they won't ruin their life. But I have learned it's not always the Lord's will for me to intervene in people's lives because I could be getting in God's way. Did you ever think about that? I could be getting in His way. Let me explain that a little further. Have you ever jumped in to help someone only to find out that your intervention did no good? In fact, maybe it even prolonged the difficult situation that they're in. Maybe you've even added to it. This is often the case when parents want to protect an erring teenager. Instead of letting the child suffer the consequences and learn from the mistake, as parents, we want to rescue them. But we end up sabotaging an essential life lesson that God could have taught them. Think about that. And when God teaches you, you'll learn. I know that the question came up in the past in our board. Have we really considered? Should we help them? As a church, I always encourage that we help them. But now after thinking about this, I would have to say, we will prayerfully consider helping them. Because you see, we need God's direction. We need God's help. We need to be good stewards what the Lord has entrusted us with. Knowing whether or not to help someone isn't always a clear-cut choice. After all, aren't Christians called to bear one another's burdens? Help those that are in need? Show compassion and kindness? I'm not saying that we shouldn't be doing these things. I'm recommending that we do it with caution so that we don't overstep what God wants you to do. We refer to this as the setting of boundaries. And the boundary that we must abide by is God's will. That's the boundary. Now we know the Lord is the only one who knows each one's situation fully. Remember when Jesus said, let the dead bury the dead? Do you remember reading that? How do we really know whether they truly are dead? Only Jesus knows that. He alone knows the best way to help. It's why we need to align our actions with His Word. How do we find out what God's will is? God's will is explained in His Word. That's where His will is. And so if we want to know what His will is, we have to read and study His Word and discover in His Word how He responds to situations, to see what His goals are and to see what His purposes are. So that now brings me to Matthew chapter 16. Are you there with me? Matthew chapter 16, verse 21. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto His disciples how that He must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took Him and began to rebuke Him, saying, be it far from thee, Lord. This shall not be unto thee. But Jesus turned and said unto Peter, get thee behind me, Satan. Thou art an offense unto me, for thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then said Jesus unto His disciples, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it. Whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what should a man give in exchange for his soul? Peter was trying to do what he thought was best, but he became an obstacle to God's will. Aren't we sometimes guilty of the same? The first thing that happens, we get in God's way when we are ignorant of His plans. Peter made a decision that was based on partial knowledge instead of believing what Jesus had revealed to him. Peter had partial knowledge. You know what? That's what we have. We have partial knowledge. Many times needs come to the church and we take those needs to the board, and the board, we have discussions on how are we going to help them. Sometimes just giving money isn't always a help. Are we really helping them? It's what lays heavy on each one of the board members. We've been there. We've had those questions and discussions. How can we help them? Are we helping them? Or are we just prolonging? Interesting, isn't it? I thought this was excellent. Excellent material. Now, Peter knew the scriptures. Peter understood that it was predicted that the Messiah would come to deliver Israel from Gentile domination. He would also set up His earthly kingdom and rule the entire world from Jerusalem. And Peter would have gotten that information from Zechariah, the prophet, chapter 14. But what Peter failed to recognize is that the prophet Isaiah also predicted that the Messiah would suffer and die. Isaiah chapter 53. It's the same way that we, many times, only have partial knowledge. And so we tend to swing into action after hearing someone's side of the story without really realizing that only God knows what's truly going on in this individual's life that we're trying to help. He alone knows what needs to be done and how to accomplish it. So the second thing we get in God's way is when we fail to see pain as the tool that he uses to accomplish his purposes. Did you catch that? He uses pain as a tool. Jesus' suffering and death was absolutely essential for the redemption of mankind. And John the Baptist called him the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, John 1:29. The Jews would have all realized that lambs were killed as a substitute for those repentant sinners. But you see, Peter couldn't see that. He couldn't see any good would even come from the Messiah's death. Isn't that how we often view affliction and pain? We try to alleviate it as if we can, don't we? Yes, we do. Especially if it involves our children. Isn't it hard to sit by and watch things happen to your children that you know they must go through? You went through it, and you learned, and you know that they're going to have to go through it because they need to learn. But I can tell you it's awfully hard to sit by and not do anything. That's difficult, very difficult. We want to think that God's goal to relieve suffering, it is his tool, and he uses it to accomplish his good purposes. Petey read the psalm, "It is good for me that I was afflicted, that I may learn your statutes." Now, during the time of the affliction, it's not good. Paul said it's not good. But after you go through it and you think back and you see what God was trying to do, then you say, "Thank you, Lord. It was hard for me to thank you while I was going through it. But I understand now why I had to go through it. And I can offer you thanks. Thank you so much for loving me so much." You see, when we step into someone's life to help ease their suffering, and we do this without considering what God's purpose might be for the pain, we could find ourselves at odds with his wonderful will. Isn't that true? Thirdly, we get in God's way when we selfishly seek what we want rather than what God wants. Peter loved Jesus, but I can tell you he also had a selfish motive for wanting him to live. Peter left his occupation. He left his home to follow Jesus. And if he died, what would Peter do? He was expecting Jesus to set up the kingdom. And as one of his disciples, Peter would then have a place of honor and authority. It's certainly the hope of the disciples. It's why they argued about which one of them would be greatest in the kingdom. In Luke's gospel, we have it recorded there, where they were discussing and having this discussion in Luke's Gospel, chapter 22. Verse 24, there was also strife among them. Which of them should be accounted the greatest? He said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doth serve. For whether is greater he that sitteth at meat or he that serveth? Is not he that sitteth at meat? But I am among you as he that serveth. You see, sometimes our motivations for helping are not quite as selfless as we'd like to think they are. Our main concern may not be God's will. It could very well be our desire for someone to do what we think is best. What we think is best. What about what God thinks is best? It's difficult to see somebody suffer, need. So why? Is it wise to ask the Lord? It's always wise to ask him to purify our motives, to guide our steps so we can cooperate with his plan instead of getting in his way. I could have labeled and titled it that message, Getting in the Way. As a pastor and as a church, I don't want to get in God's way. May we always be those that will help others, but cautiously. Lord, what do you think? Should we help them? Should we help them now? How shall we help them? I don't know about you, but this was a message that really did speak to my heart. I really never gave that much thought. Glory. We're going to go to the Lord this time in prayer. We're going to be an anointing service. And with this message, I want to share with you about the anointing service because it really goes along with what we're doing next. When we open the altar up for you to come to be anointed, we certainly don't want you to think that by coming up here, you're going to alleviate a lot of pain and suffering. Because I can tell you that if God is putting you through it, it don't matter how many times you come up here, God's will be done in your life. And perhaps it is his will for what you're going through. Perhaps it is. And all we can do is pray with you that God will continue to give you the strength that you need to go through your time of trial. You with me? You understand it? Did you grasp it? Good. Hallelujah. I have a number of things that we need to continue to remember these on the mission trip.